Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 217, all the stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the prophecy of Jeremiah and there of Jeremiah 14. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Jeremiah 14. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They come to the pits, and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded, and covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed, they covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses that did stand in the high places, they snuffed up the wind like dragons, their eyes did fail, because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do thou it for thy name's sake, for our backslidings are many, we have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonied, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. Thus saith the Lord unto his people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry, and when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name, and I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, yet they say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed, and the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. And they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Therefore thou shalt say this word unto them, Let mine eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. And if I enter into the city, then behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into a land that they know not. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, and there is no good, and for the time of healing, and behold, trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness, and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Are not thou he, O Lord, our God? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. Thus far is scripture reading. Let us together now read the form for the administration of holy baptism, which can be found on page 126 of the Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified. And we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son, the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in Him and love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength. That we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then, baptism is come in the place of circumcision. Therefore, infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to His glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of His church, let us call upon His holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast, according to Thy severe judgment, punish the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family. Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee, and that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, and that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now ask the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. (Clears throat) Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of our Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Third, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Brunn? Father and Mother Busicum, and Father Van Herk. Dear parents, we have heard here out of the Word of God. It says, we are called by thy name. And when our children do receive the sacrament of baptism, then upon their foreheads are placed the name of the triune God. And thus they are indeed called by his name. That really is something. Because we heard this morning, it was mentioned about Jacob, that Jacob said to his sons, that ye have made me to stink among the inhabitants of the land. And thus, we can read also in God's word that the Lord says the same to his own servant, to David. He said that you have given cause for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. To blaspheme whom? That was not to blaspheme David, but the Lord says you have given cause for my enemies to blaspheme me. Why is that? If David had sinned, then that sin, we would say, would be against his own name. But it was because David did bear the name of the Lord. It was because of David it could also be said that he was called by the name of the Lord. And to be called by the name of the Lord, that is a very great blessing. I think we need not to say too much. We have heard it already in this morning hour. In the first place, because of the benefits of being called by his name, and we hope to hear something more about this in this hour. But for a moment, the responsibility also of being called by this name. Then it is your responsibility as parents, but then it is also a responsibility that is lying upon our children, and thus your children here are also old enough to understand something of this, and we have spoken of this, children, a little bit also in your home last week, that when you are baptized, then upon your forehead is placed the name of the Lord. And that is a great responsibility because All the world is then looking at us as those who do bear the name of the Lord upon our foreheads. And so it is possible that when we do not act in the right way, children, and that the world is now mocking, not just with us, but the Lord is mocking with the name of the Lord. And we would never want, with the name of the Lord upon our foreheads, that the Lord is being mocked. What is one of the very first things that a person sees? That is the way that we are dressed. We cannot be dressed as a worldly person and then have the name of the Lord upon our foreheads. And when a person will meet us and our children, then they will hear the way that we talk. Will we then talk as a worldly person with the name of the Lord on our foreheads? And when we become of age, we will do business. Will we do business as a person of the world with the name of the Lord on our foreheads? And I think that we do not need to broaden this out. And may the Lord give that we may feel something of the great responsibility that is upon us when we are called by His name. But above all, may we also experience something of the blessing that we hope to hear of also out of His word, what it means to be called by the name of the Lord. While the infants are brought in, let us sing from Psalter number 90, the sixth stanza. Ye children, come and hear my voice, and learn to make God's fear your choice, who seek long life and happy days, must learn to walk in wisdom's ways. The sixth stanza of Psalter number 90, and after baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 425, the fifth stanza. Calvin Gerald, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Brody Abraham, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Brienne Colby, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Logan Christopher, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Tate Matthias, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Adeline Joella, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee in that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and hath received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee, and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Strengthen these parents in that labor and that is laying upon them, who have stood and made this promise. Also, this mother that may be here also, to witness the baptism of her own children. O Lord, that they together may receive what is necessary from above. For from our side all comes against it in the midst of this world. And we are not able to stand against the wiles of the devil. O Lord, that thou may strengthen them and give to them that faith also, that they may come to thee in all their needs and wants and cares, that they also themselves may be partakers of that inward blessing, and that they may be able to speak unto their children concerning those things that are most necessary. Remember the grandparents also. Wilt thou give unto them that faithfulness to warn their children and their grandchildren, that they may be kept from the ways of sin? And wilt thou supply also where there is mourning for the loss of their loved ones? Do look upon us in this hour, that thou may be in the midst of us as one that serveth, that thou wouldst give unto thy church an eye to behold thee and the blessing that thou hast dost signify and seal unto thy church in holy baptism. That question that is lying within their own hearts and may also receive an answer from thee. Thou knowest the many doubts and the many fears. But for this reason thou hast given, as we have heard it in this morning hour, these holy sacraments, that we may be assured of the certainty of that blessed union and the blessings to be bestowed upon us also. O Lord, remember in this hour, give a little opening in thy holy word and a little food in thy house and a little of that drinking from that eternal fountain. Wilt thou forgive and take away our many, many sins for Jesus' sake? Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 68, all the stanzas. Grace and truth shall mark the way, where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed. This is the second wedding announcement of André van Driesten and Mariah Fader on this coming Friday, July 13th at 1 o'clock p.m. Objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by this coming Tuesday. There was a ring found in the parking lot, so if you are missing a ring, please, you can come to the consistory. The last collection is for the building fund. Psalter 68, all the stanzas. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in this portion that was read, and it is that portion that we have mentioned to you already, out of Jeremiah 14, at the verse 9, only these words, "And we are called by thy name." So far, the words of our text. Jeremiah's intercession for God's wayward people. First, the dire consequences, the dire circumstances, and second, the powerful pleading ground. So Jeremiah's intercession for God's wayward people. First, the dire circumstances, and second, the powerful pleading ground. We say the dire circumstances. What does it say? The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. What is a dearth? That is a drought. Thus, there was no rain. It was a great drought that happened in the days of Josiah, the end of Josiah's reign, and it continued into the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim. You can read a little bit that in the former chapters how that this drought was mentioned, but it is not spoken about in a great detail until this chapter. Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish, they are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem is gone up. It speaks about the children. The children, they received a task in those days, children. Then the water did not come as we have it out of our faucet in our home. But that was often the task of the children, that they were sent to get water. Speaks about the pit where they had to go get that water, so their mother would give them a vessel, and that vessel was empty, and they would run down to that pit and come back with the water. But we read that they came back with an empty vessel. So they said, "Mother, Father, there is no water." You understand how disappointing that was to mother and to father. We read here about the plowmen, that the plowmen are also ashamed because, well, we read in God's word that there are some farmers, their hedge that is all grown over with thorns. And it is because those farmers, they are lazy. They are doing nothing. But here the farmers are also doing nothing. And they are not lazy farmers, but they are very, very ashamed that they are doing nothing. But they have no reason to do anything because there is no water. So there is no hope, there is no expectation. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it because there was no grass. So the calf was born, and it was in the time that it needed that mother so much. But she went to find a little bit of grass, cannot find it. Cannot give her young suck. Even it speaks about the wild asses. The wild asses, and they are animals that are used to the wilderness already. But even those wild asses, they are suffering. They are going to the very highest places, the highest hills that they can find, because the heat that is increasing, and they are snuffing up the wind, we read, like a dragon, that they are trying to come to receive the coolest air that is possible. Thus, a very great dearth. And that dearth that naturally has dire consequences because how necessary is water. We cannot live without water. And who is the provider of water? That is the Lord alone. He is the creator of that water. He is the upholder of the entire universe. And he is the provider for every one of his own creatures. But by one word of his, and that rain that ceases to fall from the skies, and the earth that is languishing, and man and beast, they are perishing. For what reason would the Lord do such a thing? Who has himself made the world, who has himself upheld the world even to this very moment, making it in his strength, making it in his wisdom, upholding it in his goodness and in his long-suffering. Why would the Lord do such a thing? It is, we read here, because of sin. Jeremiah confesses it. He says, O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, that is it. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, they have loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Thus the Lord, he cannot dwell with sin. Sin that is a contradiction to the very being of the Lord himself. We have heard it, something of it in this morning also, of the holiness of the Lord, and how that man himself is not able to stand in that holiness of God. But there is more, because it is also that the Lord himself is not able to dwell with the sinfulness and the corruption and the pollution that is in man. And so we can read that when Adam had sinned, that the Lord, he has thrust Adam out of his presence, that he had to go out of the garden. We read of Moses. The Lord says, remove thy shoes from off thy feet, because the place whereon thou standest, that is holy ground, and I am present. Thus it is also with his house. Thus it is also with his day. Thus it is also with all of the institutions of the Lord. We can read of the four beasts in glory, that they are crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. How little impression that we do have of the holiness of the Lord. When we are lying in our guilt, when we are lying in our corruption, then we do not have and cannot have by nature a sense of the true holiness of the Lord God Almighty. The Lord chastises his people because of their sin. Why? That it may be put away. Jeremiah says, therefore the showers have been withholden, and there has been no rain, but thou hast a whore's forehead, and thou refusest to be ashamed. And what does the Lord even say here to Jeremiah? Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Who can fathom this? That the Lord even says to his servant to cease. not even to pray anymore for this people, that the Lord is cutting off every supplication because of the displeasure that is living in his heart against that sin. What is hell? In hell, there is no hearing. There is a great gulf fixed, the Lord Jesus says. There may be a supplicating for one drop of water. But the Lord, he says, I will not hear anymore. Thus the Lord, he is threatening the most dreadful, the most serious punishment against his own people because of their sin. How loathsome then! How loathsome is sin unto the Lord! We must ask him that he may give to us a right impression in our heart of what that sin that is really unto him. What is Jeremiah's answer? He says, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. What does he do? He comes to the aid of the people. He, as it were, will stand for them. He will give an answer unto them for the Lord. He will even, in a certain sense, excuse somewhat their behavior. He says, O Lord, this people, they have false prophets, and those prophets are deceiving the people. And now thou dost judge that people. But are they a people that really can take all of the blame for their actions? Are they not a deceived people? Then the Lord said unto me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision, and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Thus, indeed, the Lord condemns the false prophets. And he says that the false prophets, they shall be punished. He will not leave them alone. Their day that will come, he will consume them with the sword. He will consume them, he says, also with the famine. But then he speaks also about this people and the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword, and they shall have none to bury them, their wives, nor their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness upon them. Thus, the Lord does not excuse his people because of the false prophets, because of those that would deceive them. No, the Lord says, this people, they are also guilty. And why? Because I have sent you, he says, unto them. Because I have sent my word unto them in addition to the prophets that prophesy falsehood. And thus they may hear also what is the truth. And therefore that ignorance that is in them, the Lord says, that will be for that people no excuse. Ignorance is, congregation, no excuse to us either. Ignorance is our guilt. Why? Because we were not created in ignorance. We were created in knowledge. And the ignorance that is upon us, that is within us, is a direct consequence of our own sin. We have robbed ourselves of our own wisdom. And now the Lord, He is sending Jeremiah unto this people. And what does the Lord say? Well, this people, they also now may discern between what is right and what is wrong. They also may hear my word. And the Lord, He Himself says that He is the personification of all wisdom. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, He says, ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Thus, He says, if now this people, if they would only set themselves to seek my face, then I will give them the wisdom to discern between good and evil. I will give them the wisdom to know who is the false and who is that prophet of the Lord. Thus we have in our first thought the circumstances, the dire circumstances. What are they? This is a people that are set before death because there is no water. It is a drought. It is a drought that is continuing, and that is year after year. And then it is impossible that the existence of this people can continue when the Lord would continue with His judgments. One word, and the Lord is able to take everyone away in one moment. And now Jeremiah, he is pleading with the Lord for the sake of this people. He is interceding for that people in their dire circumstances. And in the midst of this pleading are the words of our text. And we find in there the basis of that pleading. That is our second thought, his pleading ground. Boys and girls, we read in the Bible that the Lord Jesus told a parable. He told a parable about a man that built his house upon the sand, and another man that built his house upon a rock. And when the winds came, and the floods came, and then we know that that house that was upon the sand, well, that was swept away. But the house that was upon a rock, that house was steadfast. Every house that needs to have a good foundation, every house needs to have a good ground underneath it. A request in prayer that also needs to have some ground. It needs also to have some foundation upon which he who is requested can give an answer. Otherwise, that request itself that is not answered, that is, as it were, that house upon the sand, that is a request that is just simply swept away. Even the devil knows that request needs to have some good reason. We can read that he mocked with King Saul at the end of his life. Because Saul, in his desperation, when he had not sought the Lord all his life, in the end of his life, he was very, very afraid and desperate. So it will be, young people, children, when we will do as King Saul, when we will go our own way all our life long, that we can be sure that the end of our life is also going to be as King Saul's. And when King Saul did seek and serve Satan all his life, and when the Lord answered him not in the end of his life, then what does he do in his desperation? He goes to a witch. That is, that he went to the devil. And he sought the advice of Satan in the guise of Samuel. And we can read that when the devil comes up in Samuel's guise, that he begins to mock with him. And he says, "Wherefore is it that you have called me up? Why? Have you a request now? Seeing now that the Lord is departed from you, will you no longer go to him?" Satan, he seeks us all our life. In the end of our life, you can be sure that Satan will mock with us. This we read in the Word of God, and we have the example of King Saul in it. What does the devil say to him? Why? "You have no good foundation for your request. You have no basis for it. You have no good reason for it. And so your request that will not be answered." Jeremiah pleads with the Lord for what? For rain. What does the Lord say to Jeremiah? "Why should I do this? Can you give me a reason? What is the basis? What is the foundation of your prayer, of your request?" "This people, have they not turned to me the back and not the face? This people, have they not left me days without number? This people, have they not a whore's forehead and refuse to be ashamed?" What can Jeremiah say? Can he deny it? Can he say, "Lord, that is not true"? What can you say? What can you say when you go upon your knees unto the Lord? Can you say, "Lord, I have not turned away from thee. O Lord, I am upright. O Lord, look at my life. It is all true." Jeremiah cannot deny it. And yet he pleads with the Lord. And what does he give as a ground? What does he give as a reason? He says, "Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. We are called by thy name." There is the ground. There is the foundation. And thus, when there is nothing else, when everything is sin, when everything is guilt, and the Lord has only reason to thrust his people away from him, and Jeremiah presents unto the Lord a reason. It is a strong ground. Why? Because it is a ground whereby, in the first place, the Lord is able to answer that people. Because it is the only in that name by which they are called, that the Lord is able to pass by the iniquity, the transgression of the people. So that is in the first place. And when Jeremiah lays that ground, "We are called by thy name," then there is an entire fountain that has opened up a fountain of arguments in the mouth of God's servants to make intercession for his people. That is the ability of the Lord to answer in his mercy. And that fountain that is lying in the blood of his dear son, it is lying in the satisfaction of the justice of God. There is not only the ability in that name, there is more. Because it is not only that they are called by his name and therefore the Lord is able to answer, but this is also a motivation, if we may reverently say it so to be, a motivation for the Lord that he would answer this supplication. Why? Israel is a very, very special nation. Israel as a nation that is as no nation in the entire world. Isaiah says, "Thus saith the Lord that formed, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel," he says, "fear not, I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." Thus the Lord says, of that nation of Israel, I have created that nation. And when he uses the word creation, then he speaks about making something out of nothing. When that people were laying in their Egyptian bondage, they were doomed to a complete destruction. Pharaoh had said, make that people labor until they are destroyed, because he was afraid of that people. And the Lord has made a nation out of nothing. But he has also formed them, he says. He that formed thee, O Israel. And we see that formation at Mount Sinai. When the Lord, he says, this people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. There is no nation in the entire world that was formed as a theocracy, especially for the purpose of glorifying the mercy and the grace of God, which the true church will do to all eternity. Thus, that people, they were already upon this world established, formed to be a people to magnify and to praise that name of the Lord. And then the Lord says, I place my name, my own name. I call this people by my name. I says, I will be your God, and you shall be my people. He says, ye shall be called the children of the living God. Elsewhere by Jeremiah, the Lord, he says, turn, O backsliding children, he says, for I am married unto you. What does that mean, when we get married? Well, when we get married, then the bride is given the name of her husband. Thus she is brought into a union with him, and she is now given his name. She will carry that name with her throughout this world. We read in the Word of God that there were times, because of their unfaithfulness, that the Lord, he has threatened to divorce his own people. Why? Because they were as a whore, because they went after other women, because they went after other gods to serve them. And he has threatened to divorce them, to put them away. Did he? No. Why not? Know the answer to that, young people? Why not? You should know the answer. Because he cannot. What is marriage? Until death do us part. That is for us. And what is that for the Lord? That is, until death do us part. And when will he die? Never. Never. The Lord cannot. That first covenant that could be broken, that was with Adam. And Adam broke it. Wherein is that second covenant that is between the Lord and his son? And that covenant that is so firm, that is so sure, that there is not a sin in the life of God's children that is able to break that everlasting covenant. Moses, he pleaded with the Lord for the sake of the people who built that calf. The Lord says, I will destroy them. Moses said, what wilt thou do unto thy great name? They are called by thy name. That is thy bride. That is thy people. And the Lord did not destroy them. What does Jeremiah do? This people, the Lord says, they have sinned against me. And there is nothing else that Jeremiah can say. But Lord, thou art right. Is that all you can say? Is that all you can say? Lord, thou art great. Then Jeremiah says, but Lord, they are called by thy name. Let us sing. Psalter 61, 1, 2, and 4. My sins and faults of youth, let them forgotten be. And for thy tender mercy's sake, O Lord, remember me. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 61. are called by thy name. In the institution of baptism, the Lord, he has directed that his name be placed upon the forehead of his church. And is said to his disciples, go ye therefore, baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That is done at the very entrance of a man into the kingdom of God. That takes not place as the Lord's Supper over and over, but it takes place only one time. And in that first time already, then that church, very often, they do not realize it. But that church is receiving out of the hand of the Lord a ground to plead upon. And this congregation is so necessary for that people. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord, when he is working in the heart of a man, he is stripping him. Adam, before the fall, could present to the Lord his own righteousness. And this covenant, that is the only covenant that a man knows by experience, even in the day of regeneration, so that a man, he is attempting to present unto the Lord some reason to say, Lord, give me water, spare my life. Slowly on, a man has to experience that he has no ground. He has nothing that he can plead upon. A man needs to be brought to the end of every supplication that is not upon that solid rock. It is such a great wonder when the Lord is bringing a man to be cut off from everything and opening up to him something of that name whereupon he can receive that life. Because in that name only of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, is all the hope and all the expectation of a people who have sinned against the Lord. When that people have nothing to say anymore unto the Lord, when a people's mouth goes closed, then the Lord himself, he is providing an argument. He is giving this unto his church. There is a reason that the bride, she said, he is white and ready. He is the chiefest among 10,000. May you ever see this. May the Lord ever open it to you. And then there is a great reason why the people may rejoice. When the Lord may give the application of that, so that that people may say with the bride, he is mine and I am his. Or Ruth, she had a desire to be called by his name, thy people, my people. That people, they are called by the name of the Lord. And she, what was she? She was on the outside. She was a Moabite. She says, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. Are you also on the outside of this? What did Ruth do? She joins herself to that people. There was only way one way she could be joined. That was by the marriage of the near kinsman. But she didn't know that. She didn't know that. What did she do? Well, she went on the field. And there she labored on that field every day. And the Lord, He gave her sheaves. You ever receive a little sheaf? You ever receive a little something to eat? You say, I do not know Christ. I do not know that greater Boaz. She did not even know the need for Him yet. But she ate. He provided for her off of His field. And then the time did come that she may also receive. That was not her time. No, but that was the time of Boaz himself. And that was a day that she may know that she was called by His name. And we are called by Thy name. It is not a people that call themselves by the name of the Lord. It is just the opposite. The Lord, He says, you have not chosen me. He says, I have chosen you. That is not a privilege that belongs to the whole world. That is a privilege that belongs to His remnant. It is a privilege that belongs to His own elect. But congregation, the Lord also has an outward church. The Lord also has a visible church. And it is not only upon the elect that that name of the Lord that is to be placed. No, it is a name that is to be placed upon the entire outward visible church. That is not what the office bearers say. That is the very institution of the Lord Himself. And thus we know that doesn't bring us into the true church. They are not all Israel that are of Israel. But congregation, the Lord is giving to every one of us a pleading ground. A pleading ground. May you ever come on your knees, and may you ever show the Lord your forehead. We do not do that from our own side. Do you know who does that? The man does that. The child does that who doesn't have any more reasons, who doesn't have any more grounds, and who cannot miss the Lord, who is hungry, who is thirsty, and who has to perish, and he cannot convince the Lord. Because there is nothing but sin. Nothing but guilt. It is corruption. It is pollution. People, where are you? Are you here? Children? There is a name. It's on your forehead. It is from the Lord. He has given it to you that you may be brought up in the church, that you may come under the truth. There are so many people that come to despair, and you know what they do? They take their own life. Why? They also have no hope. Poor people. And when you have no more hope, where are you going? Then may you go on your knees. Then may you go in your secret chamber and say, Lord, but but I am called by thy name. Do you know what the servants of Ben-Hadad said to him? They said, we have heard that the kings of Israel, they are merciful kings. Let us then put sackcloth on our loins. Let us then put ropes around our necks. And let us go out unto that king. Peradventure, he will save us alive. Let us then put ropes about our neck. Let us put sackcloth on our loins. And let us yet go in. And when we are so destitute, when there is no way, and when there is no more hope, and say, O Lord, we are called by thy name. Amen. O Lord, wilt thou give hope unto those who have no hope? Wilt thou look upon them and give that this sacrament may be for their encouragement to plead with thee? For there is a people where there is no more way. It comes, O Lord, to an end. And man has to die. Thou knowest it. There is no reason in us. We have forfeited everything. Oh, give them to see something. Open it, Lord. Open it this day. It is thy day. It is thy sacrament. And there is so much mercy. And there is so much grace. It is not only thy ability, it is also thy will. Come unto me, O ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hast thou not said it, O Lord, and wilt thou not do it? Dismiss us with thy blessing, forgiving all of our many sins. Be with those that hope to be united in this week in that bond of holy matrimony. For Jesus' sake, amen. 415, the fifth stanza. All the pathways of Jehovah speak of truth and mercies pure unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony sure. 415, stanza 5. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.